I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox championship.
What's up? Welcome back to Play Test Suite. It's episode 188. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, everywhere. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel. You can find the Play Test Suite playlist there. It's got all of our episodes. So hit the thumbs up on those videos, subscribe to WEEI's YouTube channel, and find us on the socials at PlayTesty on both Twitter and Instagram. No Pat today, so it's just me and Sammy. So we're next time we see Pat, we'll be at the airport because we go to spring training. If you're listening on drop day, today's the day we go to spring training. And, you know, usually these second episodes of the week can kind of be a little bit of a grind for us because – news drops throughout the week, but we only about a day and a half goes by in between when we record for Monday and when we record for Wednesday. But today just so happened that a load of stuff dropped. Like we're getting really close to this team finalizing roster decisions for the season that we've been wondering about for, you know, over a month. Like Sammy, we could literally not saying that word anymore. Hold me to it. Not doing it. But we could start anywhere.
We could start literally anywhere.
Literally anywhere.
Yeah. If you missed last episode, Gordo's trying to wean himself off of saying the word literally too much. And honestly, I listened to every episode we record. I didn't really notice it. I literally didn't notice it. So if you literally want to try to stop saying it, oh, here comes Joe.
Sammy, I can
Joe's
say,
gonna be like, Sammy, I'll tell you, he says it all the time.
No. I'm gonna say all of you guys have that tick. Gordo with literally.
Literally?
Sammy, no, not with literally, but just your own little ones. Like Gordo, you say literally a lot. Sammy says honestly a lot, I will say.
Does Pat
that's
have one?
Terrible. Pat's got his like pregnant pauses. Like that's his.
Yep.
That's his tick.
If I say honestly a lot, that implies that when I don't say honestly, I'm lying. So that's bad. I got to stop saying that. We're cleaning it up in here as we go.
I'm just telling you, Gordo, you're not in the minority. Everyone has their icks.
And you know
Everyone's
what? Yeah,
got their ticks.
It's not just this podcast. Everyone has it. And we've had different ones throughout our lives. I'm trying to. Oh, what's the like is another one. that I feel like everyone tries to avoid. And I think I've been trying to do that forever and not succeeding. I feel like I also say like a lot. So it's the two L words for me. I gotta get off of like, I gotta get off of literally. But we could literally start anywhere.
Here's a good way to put it. Here's a proper use of literally. Literally everyone has something like that when it comes to podcasting. They say too much. Here you go.
Honestly, Sammy, you're right. Hey, we're doing great.
Awesome.
So, okay, let's just jump right into it. Report today from Mass Live. It seems like Aroldis Chapman is in the lead to get the closer job, which, I mean, I was on Twitter. I am trying to find the word in my head to not say literally, but I was on Twitter yesterday saying that my predictions, and one of them was that Liam Hendricks would get the first crack at saves. I honestly thought that, but at this point now we've got this report that Chapman's going to be in the leader for saves. I mean, you hard to not buy into that. The reason that I thought it was going to be Hendricks is it goes hand in hand with why I'm a little bit surprised that Chapman is going to get that first shot. Because yes, is Chapman the most electric arm that the Red Sox have in their bullpen? He sure is. No one throws the ball like he does. But you just got to remember, last year the Red Sox, one thing they lacked was a lefty that you could feel really good about in high leverage situations against lefties, putting them in there, get out of jams, get through an inning. The one that always comes to mind is there was a game in LA against the Dodgers right after the All-Star break, and it was a tight game that the Red Sox were leading in the eighth inning, and there were men on base, and the Dodgers had their lefty pocket coming up where it's like you had Ohtani and Freeman in there. And they had to go to Bernie for it, and Bernie let up, I believe it was a grand slam to Freddie Freeman. It did them in for that game, and it was so clear last year that they just didn't have a flame throwing lefty that you could feel good about putting in a spot against a team's best lefty and get a strikeout. Now they have that guy in Chapman, but that's if he's closing, if he's reserved for the ninth inning, then you're still out that guy. Like you're basically going to be relying on one of Justin Wilson, Brennan Bernardino, or Matt Moore, however many of them are on the roster, to be that lefty guy. And to be honest with you, I feel like from a lefty standpoint, a guy that you'd put in to face lefties, you'd basically be in the same position as you were in last year if you're trying to play the matchups, which we know Alex Cora likes to do.
Yeah, and for reference, talking about Chapman's ability to get lefties out, in his career, this is 792 plate appearances against lefties. They have a 465 OPS against him. So lefties don't touch Chapman at all. That said, I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Gordo. I don't love limiting Chapman. Maybe limiting is not the right word, but just having him in that specific role where they can't go to him for a pocket, like you mentioned, in the seventh or eighth inning. I'd much prefer have him in that role rather than, you know, someone like Slayton, who I think could be a closer, Whitlock, who I think could be a closer. So yeah, Chapman, not my first choice for closer. I agree with you. I thought Hendricks would have gotten first crack. My second choice would have been Whitlock. I know you prefer Slayton, and I think that both of us would say Chapman's our fourth pick, right?
Fourth I would have
out of all the guys.
I would have him as my third, just because I really do want Whitlock in that multi-inning role. So I know we differ there, but yeah, he wouldn't have it for me. I mean, my first choice would have been Slayton, and I guess Hendricks is my second choice. But the truth is, like, these opinions, They're going to change the second we see these guys throw meaningful innings at the start of the season. Like if Liam Hendricks is where's he in your choice? You said he would be number one or two.
He was right now. I think I'm leaning Whitlock because the only reason I'd prefer Whitlock as closer rather than that multi-inning role is one, we've seen him do it limited, but we've seen him do it and he was pretty solid. And two, coming off of surgery, I don't know if I want him going 2-3 innings at a time, multiple times a week. I think that another issue might be going back-to-back starts, but I feel like that's easier. Sorry, back-to-back outings. I feel like that's easier to live with and having him as closer. So I don't know. It's there's a few choices we've got, and none of them are really standing out to me right now. And this is why I've kind of been so on the bullpen all offseason long. I don't think it's bad. It's just not super inspiring. The depth is good. They just don't have that guy you feel great about in the ninth inning. And if it were 2014, I'd say, great, Chapman. But that was 11 years ago. I don't feel great about Chapman in the ninth inning anymore. And by the way, if you got heart problems and you're a Red Sox fan,
it's going to be tough.
Chapman in the ninth inning? Oh, my God. Good
Here's
luck.
The thing. Sammy, I think results-wise, and like obviously, yes, the process of getting from out one or out zero to out three in the ninth with Chapman is going to be probably scarier than it is with anyone else. But in terms of just pure success rate of it, he's probably, I mean, I still think Slayton and probably Whitlock too would maybe convert at a higher rate than Chapman does. But the thing is, they're going with who they think. I mean, granted, this isn't even a final decision. It's just a report as to where they're leaning today. But if they do go with Chapman, it would be a decision of we're going to go with the guy we perceive as our best arm in the ninth, and we're going to figure out the rest from there. Like we're going to work from the ninth backward. Whereas if it were me, like, yes, I agree. Bullpen roles are important. And Cora has said as such, like Cora's not going to say Chapman's the closer, but oh, if we've got lefties up in the eighth, we'll throw Chapman there and have someone else close. I don't think he's totally opposed to doing that. Like in a very unique circumstance, like maybe that Dodgers circumstance.
Like in the playoffs, he would do that. In a unique circumstance, yeah. Like you just said, he would do it maybe. But I agree with what Cora said.
He's going to be regimented.
It is important. Yeah, you don't need, but I think it's much better to have defined roles. I think these baseball players are such creatures of habit. And this is a generalization, but I think it's a good generalization. It's an accurate one. They're creatures of habit. And if you define these roles, it just makes everything simpler for them. It alleviates the stress. It alleviates the wondering.
Keep the same routine every day.
Yeah, and same for the fans. It's good if we know who's coming in. Less stress for us, too. And come on, that's important. So, yeah, the whole Chapman thing, I get where they're coming from. I just don't fully agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I feel like it's as simple as you need to fill three basic bullpen roles here. You got to have the go-to guy for lefties, you have to have the closer, and you have to have the primary eighth inning guy. And the Red Sox have four guys right now that feel like they're kind of above the rest of the relief pecking order. Like Justin Wilson's guaranteed an MLB spot because of his contract, but like everyone else has options. And Cora said it today, like it's up in the air who's going to begin the year with the team. Obviously, everyone's going to contribute. But to me, if it were my decision, I would say Slayton is your closer. Your primary setup guy is Chapman, and he's also the go-to lefty guy. And if that pocket comes up earlier, then you can hopefully go to Hendricks if he proves that he can. Like that's the thing, is like this Hendricks conversation could change in an instant. If he pitches three times in the first week of the season and allows runs in two of them, he's immediately going to be on the bottom of all of our bullpen pecking orders, like the trust tree, the trust-o-meter.
Shout out Ed Hand, friend of the program.
Yeah, he'll shoot right to the bottom of that thing if he has a couple bad outings to start. But like right now, to start the season, you're like, yeah, I want the guy who I think is my best arm. I don't know, because Whitlock might be the best arm, but I want him to be in a multi-inning role. It's so complicated. It's going to be ever-changing throughout the season. I just would think that the one thing that you could define is the lefty guy. Like they only have one guy who can really be trusted to do that. Mm-hmm. And if he's closing, he's not going to be able to do that.
And to strengthen the point you're making, Gordo, Brennan Bernardino, he's a fine reliever, but his splits are pretty neutral. 782 against righties, 721 against lefties. That's not much of a difference. So he's not really much of a lefty specialist, which is not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just that's how he pitches. He gets, you know, solid success either way. It's just that if you got Freddie Freeman, for example, coming up, you want a guy who lefties hate to see. And Brennan Bernardino, he's not that guy. I mean, he can get righties out too, which is great. But if you're specifically for lefties, I don't know. And then Justin Wilson, who the Red Sox seem to be enamored with, he's hard to break down because he had a bad year in 2024. And
he had a bad spring too.
Almost positively say that the Red Sox are going to change his pitching repertoire. They're not going to have him throwing his fastball much. Andrew Bailey's already shown us in 2024 that's what he likes to do. And Wilson had a bad fastball. It got hit really hard. So hard to really know much about how he's going to look other than the small sample in spring training. A lot of stuff up in the air with the bullpen. This is why David Robertson still out there gets lefties and righties out. It's not too late, Red Sox. Chase Anderson last year, you got him late.
Sammy, but at this point, like if you sign David Robertson, how many times or how many examples last year did we see of guys who signed super late in the spring and it's like they didn't get a real spring training, so they ended up stinking? Like at this point, David Robertson's unsigned and he's only going to sign if he thinks he's getting his fair value. He's reportedly content to just sit back and not pitch if the right opportunity doesn't come. Like to me, it's honestly even too late. Like you're just going to have to hope to patch it up. Like you have to hope that the worst case scenario is you patch it together for the first half and then the deadline comes around and hopefully a guy like Ryan Helsley is going to be available. Maybe a guy like Robert Suarez. There's going to be others. Like even, I mean, bad example, but Kenley Jansen types where they signed 1 year deals. Obviously the Red Sox won't trade for Jansen, but good relievers will come available.
Yeah, even Finnegan. Yeah. Just anyone. Just lengthen that bullpen a little bit more. And I've said this a few times on the show. I like the depth. Like there's a lot of guys who can contribute, but that's
the top dog. That's what they're missing.
Yeah, that doesn't solve the ninth inning when you're sweating bullets and you're crouched with your hands on your knees in front of the TV going like, come on, end this game. I don't know, man. This is definitely the hole on the team. I'm very confident in saying that the eighth and ninth inning. No,
just the ninth inning.
The eighth inning, I take it back. Just the ninth inning. That's the hole on this team.
And it could come together. We don't know. Like we've seen this before. 2013, they got it right on their fourth try. They went Hanrahan, Bailey, Tozawa, and they finally got it with Koji. Like sometimes it works like that. And if it doesn't, you just got to hope that the rest of your team is good enough to get you to the point where you can trade for that dude. But yeah, the ninth inning, I mean, and granted, this could all also go away if Liam Hendricks gets a couple miles an hour back on his fastball by April, maybe by May, and pitches like the Liam Hendricks of old. He's obviously super motivated. It's not like if he struggles, it's not because he's not doing the right things. It's just that he's been through a lot physically and he's on the older side. So like this was always a risk. The other thing before we move on from the bullpen, I'll tell you one thing I want to see a little bit less of this year. The multi-inning stuff from anyone not named Garrett Whitlock. You're already seeing it in the spring training. Like this is how you saw guys like Zach Kelly would run into trouble with this. Greg Weissert would run into trouble with this. Brennan Bernardino would run into trouble with this. These guys are really good in the first inning of work, but then they're asked to go a second. And granted, that's not like an Alex Cora decision issue. That was just where we were because the pitchers weren't really going beyond five or six innings. Like we weren't getting a ton of seven inning starts. If you're getting seven inning starts from guys like Crochet and Buehler and Bayo and Houck, if you're getting a couple of those a week, these guys aren't going to be asked to go multiple innings. But it just shows how it's all connected. And if the bullpen struggles, a lot of times you can attribute it to what the rotation is giving them. So I'm just closing thought for me on the bullpen thing. Like that's just something to keep an eye on early, especially when these guys are getting pulled from games maybe at 90 pitches as opposed to 100 early on, which you see a lot.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, I think some of these guys like Zach, for example, who have just electric stuff, I think they could figure it out, become a multi-inning guy. But I don't want it to be forced. A lot of the times last year, because the lack of depth, it felt like it was forced. We need you to give us this extra two outs even, or extra one out, and it's just pushing it, and it backfires, and then we're angry all the way until the next night.
Yep. All right. The other thing that was in that same report from Mass Live, shout out to them for getting this all this great info for us, because these are the questions that we've been wondering all offseason. And the other thing was that Christian Campbell, and we speculated that, you know, based off of the lineups that we were seeing out there, Campbell starting with the regulars, you know, not playing left field anymore, maybe he was taking the lead for that job at second base, even though, you know, hitting under 200 this spring still is. But the report out from Mass Live is that, yeah, he's in the lead for that job. If that's to happen, David Hamilton probably plays, you know, more of a bench utility role, pinch runner, defensive replacement, gets a day here and there at an infield spot. You saw it in Tuesday's game. Campbell played second, Hamilton played short. And then the thing that interested me even more on that was when Marcelo Meyer came into the game, like the easy thing would be, oh, Hamilton goes to second and Meyer plays short. No, they had Hamilton still playing short because he's going to be the backup shortstop, and Meyer played second. So Campbell's going to get that starting job, I think. I'm not going to call it done, but it feels like they're looking for every last reason to give him that job. So until we're told otherwise, and by the way, this would mean Grissom is in AAA. Until there's something that tells us that maybe that's not the plan, or maybe they're considering Yoshida for the opening day roster, because that's what's connected in here too, is that he'll start on the IL, Devers will DH, Bregman will play third, opens up second for Campbell. That's just the way it's going to be in my eyes until we see something different.
Yeah, not a ton more to add to that. Seems like he's in the lead. It also seems like the Red Sox have given him every opportunity to make the team, whether that's as a corner outfielder or a second baseman. You can tell they really like him. He had a play the other day that kind of looked Robinson Cano-ish, like a larger second baseman just slinging it. Getting way ahead of myself. That's one of the best second basemen of our generation. But it's cool to see the Red Sox develop a guy like Campbell. The swing is just wild looking, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's just a violent swing. It's controlled violence. He's starting to hit a little bit better in spring training, using all fields, which is a good sign, especially for a young guy to go the other way. Excited. I'm excited to see it. I hope he wins the job. I'm rooting for him. He by far has the most upside out of any of those guys, him, Hamilton, and Grissom. So it'll be interesting to see. You can tell the Sox like him, and we'll see where it goes. He's definitely in the lead right now, and that's kind of a quick change. I think we all agreed that Hamilton kind of sort of was in the lead last time we discussed this, but
something changed. I don't know what it was. Like, snap your fingers and Campbell stopped playing left field, and it wasn't like because he started playing better.
If they both perform at the same level in spring training, there's no shot they give it to Hamilton. They're giving the job to Campbell, and we get why. The ceiling is just gigantic.
And it's not even like you can platoon it, because if Christian Campbell is on the team, he's not going to only face lefties. No, he's playing every day.
No, no more platoons. None. Does this team have any platoons I'm thinking right now? No.
Abreu.
No platoons.
Abreu.
Nah. Keep
Abreu
him
and Ref Snyder. Abreu and Ref Snyder.
I'd keep him in. He had his platoon rookie season. Red Sox do this.
No,
they did
that's
it with Devers a little
no.
bit.
Let him Devers, go. Casas, Duran, it's different. Abreu actually has legitimate concerns against lefties that I don't think any of those guys reasonably did. Like, this has been a thing even dating back to the minors, and you have Ref Snyder on this team for a reason. Like, he's got to play versus lefties.
Yeah, no, I get the thought process. I'm just like, we're gonna keep the training wheels on Willier forever. He wasn't good against lefties in the minors though, so that is a fair concern. I don't know. I kind of
want to get a shot at some point. Like, Ref Snyder's gonna get banged up, or if Duran is banged up at some point, then all of a sudden Ref Snyder slots in there, and maybe even Roman Anthony puts together such professional at bats. I have no interest in seeing him platoon when he gets called up, but they may choose to do that because that's just what they've done with their young studs. So maybe at that point he becomes the platoon and Willier gets more at bats that way. But to me, if Roman comes up, I want him facing the lefties too. He is such a pro, a pro.
Cool. I'm just thinking, like, if Willier Abreu is your right fielder primarily, and like Andrew Heaney is pitching, a lefty like that, come on, you're gonna put Ref Snyder, let Willier hit off of Andrew. If it's Tarek Skubal, okay, Ref Snyder, Willier's got no shot against this guy. Come on, get in there, Rob. But a guy like that, Nestor Cortez.
But you have Willier a better chance to win if you got the guy who's got the 850 OPS against lefties out there.
Yeah, I get it. If it's a must-win game and it's late in the season, sure. But there's 162 games. I want to see my young guy develop. There's plenty of offense to go around now at this point, so I'm not too concerned about one guy. I get what you're saying. I just
do you think Willier Abreu will be on this team next year?
Ooh,
because that's another part of the equation. If you're concerned with growth, then there's something to be said about what you're saying, but if the plan is let's make the stats look as good as they can look, because let's be real, our outfield of the future is going to be what, like Roman, Duran, Sedan? Like, not,
yeah, but at the same time, at the same time, these other teams aren't idiots. If they see Williams being platoon, they're not going to trade for him as if he's an everyday guy with an 800 OPS. They're going to trade for him as if he's a platoon guy with an 800 OPS. So you could just spin that logic that way.
It's true. But the numbers, if he has, like, because people forget, like, he had a brutal finish to the season. He was rocking around like an 830, 840 OPS late in the season until he, I mean, they all fell off the map at the end. Like,
that bummed me out so much. I wanted to be able to say gold glove right fielder with an 800 OPS, but I can't say that now. But this is, herein lies the tough choices that a manager has to make. Like, do you want to take the training wheels off of Willy Abreu, let him face some of these lefties, or do you want to increase your chances to win this specific game with Rob Refsnyder, who crushes lefties? Choices.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
So back to the Campbell thing, and it all connects. Like, this is we have conversations about different roster topics, but they all end up connecting anyway. So you always end up having the full-fledged conversation. But let's go to the Yoshida aspect of this, because by putting Campbell on the roster, which we expect them to do, they're going to play Bregman at third, which again was expected because he hasn't played an inning of second base. That means Devers is going to DH, and we'll see how that goes and if he has anything else to say to the media on that, especially early in the season. But it means that Yoshida, and Cora said this today, he's likely to begin the season on the IL, even though, I mean, we're watching him hit over 300 in spring training. He hit a home run today that he pimped the shit out of, just another Yankee, Yoshida against the Yankee bomb. Like, curious about your take if it's changed, but my take continues to be, I think the Red Sox best offensive team is with Yoshida at DH, Devers at third, Bregman at second. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's a better defensive lineup, but I don't think it's as much worse defensively as you would think, just because I know Campbell had a good day defensively at second base the other day, but throughout most of the spring, it's been, well, hopefully he can, you know, get better at the position. So it's not like it's not like you have like this studly defensive infield by having Bregman at third and Campbell at second, just like you wouldn't have a studly defensive infield by having Bregman at second and Devers at third. So if it were up to me, Yoshida would be in the lineup and Campbell would make his debut when he gets hot, which in a perfect world, you let your prospects debut when they're on a hot streak in AAA or in spring training. I know Campbell's been a little bit better lately, but like to me, I would want to see him crush AAA for a week. And then once he has that week, I bring him up.
Yeah, totally fair. I think you nailed it with Yoshida at DH, Devers at third, Bregman at second. That's by far the Red Sox best offensive lineup right now to start the season. Who knows what Christian Campbell looks like? The problem with this discussion is we don't know how far off Yoshida is. We know he's throwing at 90 feet, which to me indicates that he's close.
He says he's close.
Yeah, I mean,
take it for what it's worth. He says it, but he says it.
I don't know. If he's on the IL, so here's what confuses me. If he's on the IL, he's there for 2 weeks, roughly. Who is up in his place? Would that be Campbell, conceivably?
I guess if he struggles.
But then you're gonna send Campbell back down after 2 weeks? It's just a weird way to treat your top prospect.
Yeah, not ideal, right? Like you want to tell these guys when they first come up, relax. What you do here initially, you're going to struggle and it's not going to matter. It's your job. You don't want them thinking if I struggle, I'm going back.
The more we talk about this, the more it seems like, and you hit the nail on the head with this, Gordo, a long time ago, is that Sedan is probably going to be maybe not relegated, but just changed to a utility role, playing where he's needed, defensive replacement late in games, maybe on occasion, good matchup wise, you have him hit against a lefty versus, you know, situationally. The more I think about it, the more it seems like he's going to be the odd man out a lot of the time, because then just the offense carries you in every great Red Sox team that we've seen, 2004, 2007, 2013, 2018, the hallmark of all those teams is just bludgeoning the other team with offense. Not to mention, your home ballpark is Fenway. That's a hitter's haven. So why not just stack it like that? That's where my head is at. So if Yoshida starts the year as the DH and Devers is at third, Bregman at second, I would be thrilled with that. Does not seem like that's what's going to happen. It seems like he's going to be on the IL and you're going to get Christian Campbell at second, Bregman, the stud defender at third base at third, and then Devers at DH. The only thing I disagree with you on, Gordo, is that I think that's a way better defensive alignment just because you have Story and Bregman on the left side. Good luck getting anything through that. That's like a wall. And then Campbell, you know, he's average defensively.
He'll get better.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, he's young. And then I like Casas at first base. He's a big target. I know that's kind of controversial. People think he's not a good defender. Whatever. It's first base. So that's what I think is going to happen. The part that just confuses me is what I just said. I have no clue what happens when Yoshida is healthy. What the hell do you do? Do you
agree?
Like, it's just weird to treat Christian Campbell like that. If you send him down after 2 weeks, what if he's hot? Then what the hell do you do?
Well,
and this is why I was saying, why is Willier Abreu still here? It seemed like the prime time to move him. That opens up a spot. You can replenish the farm. You could get maybe a reliever. I don't love that, but you could do a variety of different things if you move him. So I don't know. It feels like there's a move missing.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's as simple as whoever's not performing. Like if Yoshida, let's say he comes back and is ready to play April 18th or something like that. He comes back and let's say Sedan's not performing. Then it's Yoshida goes to left, Duran goes to center, and Sedan loses playing time. Let's say it's Abreu who's not performing. Then it's Yoshida goes to left, Duran goes to right. It's not ideal. He doesn't really have an arm for right field. You could go Duran and center, Sedan and right, but then I feel like you're kind of wasting Sedan's talent. Whatever. If it's Campbell who's not performing, you could go Yoshida to DH, Devers to third, Bregman to second. But the issue with how they've handled the situation is Devers has not played third base in a spring training game, and if he's DHing in the season, then it'll be even greater distance between that time period and the time period where he last played third. And Bregman hasn't played second base in a game either. So can you really, like,
That's how it's going to be. I think it's pretty clear that's how it's going to be. They're
They're not going to move. Like they're not doing it. It's not.
They're not interested in rostering Yoshida unless he can play left field, because all the Red Sox are all play Tessie listeners, and they heard us say he doesn't fit on the roster well if he's just DHing. No, I'm kidding. That long term, that doesn't work. But for 2 weeks, I think it would be fine. But I digress. I think what's going to happen is Yoshida's going to be on the IL to start. Who knows what happens after that? It is so up in the air. Doesn't it feel like they got to move somebody? And I'm not. Well, it's not a bad thing.
We've seen shit like this before. Like I'll bring it back 2 years, and I'm trying to remember everyone who was involved in this scenario. They had a logjam of bad second basemen. Or maybe it was bad shortstop. No, it was bad second baseman, I think. Or maybe it was just bad middle infielders. And I'm going to try to remember everyone off the top of my head. Kike Hernandez, Christian Arroyo, Pablo Reyes, and someone else. It may have been Valdez, but I want to say it wasn't.
Oh, I had forgotten about Valdez until you said that.
Yeah, I know. He's here. Yes. Literally, nope, not saying that.
Dahlbeck.
No, he's not who I'm thinking of. I mean, I know he played some there.
He played short.
Oh, what's his name? Korean? What was his name? He was massive in the WBC, or maybe he was Chinese Taipei, actually.
Yu Chang was from Taiwan.
Yu Chang. That was the other one. And it was basically like they can only roster two of these guys, but they kept kicking the can on the decision down the road, because every time one of them was ready to come back, another one would get hurt and just go on the IL. And then it would be like, all right, today's decision day. Someone's got to go. And then it's Christian Arroyo has a jammed thumb. He's on the IL. And
someone's got to break their leg.
Yeah. And then eventually they traded Kike, and eventually they DFA'd Arroyo. But like, we thought those decisions were coming in June, and they didn't come till the end of July, and in Arroyo's case, in August. So that's probably what's going to end up happening here. We keep thinking like, okay, it's decision time. We're going to have to get like a consistent lineup out there. And if, who knows? Like maybe the decision time won't happen until like the All-Star break because of circumstance. Mm-hmm.
Much easier to move guys around like Kike, Arroyo, Yu Chang, Valdez, rather than Bregman, Yoshida, Campbell, Roman Anthony. So I hear you. I don't know. What would be the thought process behind not capitalizing on Willier Abreu? You know what this feels like? This feels like when, and I don't mean this in a mean way, when Dahlbeck had a really good 2021 and you knew Tristan Casas was coming and he's a much better prospect with a much higher ceiling, and the Red Sox were like, no, we're going to keep Dahlbeck rather than selling high. I don't think Willier Abreu is going to fall off of a cliff, but I think Roman Anthony undeniably has a way higher ceiling than Willier Abreu. And I think right now, if the Red Sox were to move Willier Abreu, you could get some good value for him. Maybe someone like Suarez. And I'm not like, I know it's much more complicated than that. It's not a who says no, we're not calculating the money. I'm just saying, you could get a guy who can help your team now, or you can replenish the farm system, which has taken a hit. Still strong, but it's taken a hit with the loss of Montgomery and Teal, etc. So
it's a great comp. That's a really good comp.
Thank you. It's a great, and I agree
with you. You said the caveat that like, yeah, Abreu is not going to fall off the cliff that Bobby fell off of, if anything, because he's a great defender and that's not going to just go away. Like, yeah, Abreu's got a strikeout issue too, and hopefully that's something that he's better at this year. But yeah, it's a great comp, a guy coming off of a really good first full season, but you've got the superstar prospect behind him. And you know he's going to play that spot, so why not sell high? But they didn't sell high on Bobby, and so that bit them in the ass because they didn't. Hopefully not selling high on Abreu. Hopefully he plays super well and you can sell even higher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but you're right. It's a very similar circumstance with maybe not as much downside, but it is the same exact thing.
Agreed. Yeah, not as much downside. The Red Sox Heimblum era to now have felt a little too conservative with stuff like this, where they're afraid to get, you know, bitten on the ass. You move Willier Abreu and now he's a perennial gold glover with an 800 OPS. Like, that could happen, but you have Roman Anthony. You're still doing fine.
And you should get good stuff. It's like, if you get good, like, we don't give two shits if Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery turn into studs if you extend Garrett Crochet and he's right. your ace for the next 6-7 years, and that could
I hope
be
they
the
do
next
turn into studs. I hope they're good. Yeah. It makes me feel better about the Red Sox development and their scouts and everything. So, yeah, man, I don't know. It just feels like they are one move short, and you know it's a lot better to be one move short because you have too much talent than one move short because you don't have enough talent. But still, yeah. the logjam is—it's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem.
Yeah. And I just talked about the Crochet extension thing as part of the caveat here. That's the next thing we should get into really quick before we move to Nuff Said, before we get on out of here in our final podcast before departing for, oh, sunny Fort Myers. Cannot wait.
The fly.
Oh, going to be so good. Spirit Airlines, calling our name. Let's go. but Bradfo, yeah. our guy Bradfo, he spoke to Crochet today, or maybe it was yesterday, and then he wrote it today. It looks like he did some vetting for some Red Sox sources as well. Maybe I don't know who he talked to. It looks like he's got some intel in here, and I'll read the part of this article that caught my eye, because obviously the premise of the article was that Garrett Crochet is not going to negotiate his potential contract extension during the season. So opening day is the deadline for that. But here's what Bradfo wrote. He said, if Crochet does what most in baseball think he will do this coming season, the price tag will likely blow past every other starting pitcher in baseball. But from the Red Sox point of view, there is the opportunity to try and siphon some certainty by waiting out what would be Crochet's second full season as a big league starter. In other words, the motivation and approach might be a bit murky from both sides considering Crochet's complicated situation. I think that's batshit crazy to even think about waiting a year on this. To me, I think that's batshit.
Yeah, that's awful. That's what would be okay. Let's think about this. What would be the best case scenario? Because if Crochet pitches poorly, his price goes down, but then you don't really want him because he pitched poorly. If he pitches well, then you're kind of looking at a Yoshinobu Yamamoto contract.
Right.
And that's crazy money that, you know, I mean, there's no salary cap in baseball, but we know how John Henry has operated over the past few years. What the fuck? Why would you not extend this guy right now? What could possibly be the reason? And if their reason is to siphon out value, I will lose my goddamn mind.
I mean, the thing here is the reason I think it's so crazy is, yes, the price. If Crochet has a good year and he's not going to negotiate in the season, so if you get to opening day, you're getting to next offseason. And when you get to next offseason, you're a year away from his free agency. It is really, really hard to sign guys to extensions a year away from free agency. You pretty much have to pay their market value to get them to forego free agency, which is, it's to your point, Sammy, the Yoshinobu Yamamoto contract. That's where this could get to. You could get him for like less than half of that today by just taking on a little bit of risk. My hope here is that this is just posturing. Like, you remember, like a few days before they got Crochet, the reports were that they weren't even in the running for him and the White Sox had eliminated them. Like, that was a report. Like, we saw they weren't that interested in Bregman, and then, oh, look, they ended up with Bregman. So hopefully this is one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, I mean, we're content to wait, and Crochet's side saying they're content to wait, and that's kind of a negotiation tactic. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 days before opening day, snap your fingers, they're in Mexico, bang, contract extension done. Forgot we told you that we were going to wait. Whoops, didn't wait. But if they do wait, very dangerous game, because if I'm Garrett Crochet, I know he says opening day is the deadline until next offseason. For me, if I'm Crochet and I don't sign an extension and I have a great year and come in the top five in Cy Young voting, I'm sure shit not signing an extension next offseason. I'm going to free agency, hitting free agency at age 27.
As a starting pitcher in the year, what, 2027 that'll be? And here's what gets lost on a lot of people, I think, is Crochet going to free agency means that all these teams are going to be bidding on him, which means that he'll get that quote-unquote overpay. Right now, I think the Red Sox could get him for a lot, but for, you know, market value, you could call it. He goes to free agency, I don't know how good I'm going to feel about the Red Sox odds of retaining him. And at that point, why did you even trade for him? If this is a 2-year rental, the hell are you doing? What I think is going to happen? Yeah, that's nuts. That's a terrible, terrible asset management if they do that, barring them winning the World Series in 2025 or 2026. And even so, you could still argue like, well, could have done that with XYZ. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to come out of nowhere. And you kind of just alluded to that, Gordo. I think they're going to get the extension done purely because it makes no fucking sense not to. It would make no sense to trade your catcher of the future in Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery, who's a freakishly athletic talent, plus other pieces to the White Sox for Crochet to just have him for 2 years. So I think it's going to be one of those things where maybe we're in Fort Myers and all of a sudden all the reporters run down to the clubhouse and we're like, oh God, here we go. What happened? What happened? Crochet extension. And then hopefully we get to interview him. That'd be great. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be a buzzer beater extension of sorts.
Do you feel like it's more likely than not still that they extend him? Or do you think it's now less than 50% chance now with what, like, we're now in the single digits before opening day.
You know what? I have stuck to my guns this whole offseason, and I've been fairly accurate, so I'm going to continue doing that. I think they're going to get the extension done again because it makes no sense not to.
I'm with you, Sammy. I still think it gets done. I think these types of things, I mean, both sides have tipped their hand in this situation. Like Crochet multiple times before he reversed what he was saying, said, yeah, like I want to get extended. I want to, you know, be here forever. I want to, you know, go all out in this season because I have financial, like he's said so many times that he wants to be extended. And then he'll throw out quotes like what he did with Bradfo here, that it's, I'm interested to see what my value could be if I have another good season. Like he's saying what he needs to say, what his agents are telling him to say. This is just my theory. But I just think that he's saying what he needs to say to keep the negotiations moving in his favor. And the Red Sox, obviously, you know, obviously they want to extend him. And, you know, being content to wait, I agree with you, Sammy. It doesn't make any sense. And saying that could just potentially be trying to get some leverage here. I think they're going to get it done still. I don't like that we're not done with it yet. I kind of thought it probably would get done by now. But I'm sticking to my guns. I agree with you. I still think they get it done.
So, question for you, Gordo. I used Yamamoto as the example, the contract example. Yamamoto is 25 when he got extended. Let's say, so Garrett Crochet is going to be, he's turning 26 this year. So, for the sake of the argument, we'll call him 26. Would you give him 11 years, $297 million? Because that is roughly, that would end at the same dollar value starting from today to the end of Yamamoto's contract. It would basically be the same thing minus a year. Would you do that? 11 297 and a half?
I don't think, I mean, are you asking, because I think they could get it done for a shit ton less, because maybe. to me I think Crochet's extension, if it gets done, is going to be one that takes him, because right now he's going to hit free agency at age 27. I think if he signs an extension, it'll be a shorter one so that he can hit free agency at like age 30 or 31. So the Red Sox would have control for a total of 5 years. Would I be comfortable signing Crochet for 11 years? Sure. I don't think, and you know what, if you offered that, he would take that over the 5-year deal and hit free agency at 30. Yeah. He would do that. But do I think the Red Sox would give that kind of deal out, considering his lack of experience? You know, he's only has one full season as a starter, and he's multiple years away from free agency. I think that's the type of deal that you wait until he is an actual free agent to give him, even though, like, yeah, that he'd get a little bit more because of baseball inflation. But I mean, I personally would rather sign him to a longer term deal than the short deal that gets him back to free agency at 30 or 31. I just think that it might be in his best interest to get that financial security and then also give himself the chance to hit the market again.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the Yamamoto equivalent, the 11 years, $297 million-ish. That's just too, for a starting pitcher, you know, and Yamamoto had his concerns. He's way undersized. He had zero MLB experience at the time of his signing. Crochet, his concerns are just 1 year of not even a full year as a starting pitcher under his belt, and he's had Tommy John. There's some health concerns. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'd go up to seven. I know he would probably prefer, well, actually, I don't think we can assume that he'd prefer shorter so he can hit free agency again.
Yeah, I wouldn't assume.
Who knows what he wants? Yeah, who knows what he wants? I would go between 5 and 7 years. I think that's the sweet spot, and you can reevaluate down the road if you want to continue employing Garrett Crochet.
I feel like it's either got to be the 5 year marker or like the 9 year marker, because I feel like he wouldn't want to be in a spot where he's hitting the market again at age 33 or 34. It's either let me hit the market again at like basically what Alex Bregman did, because Bregman got an extension first before this deal, hit the market. Mm-hmm. What is he, 30 or is he 31? I think he's 31. 31?
Yeah.
Like that's what Crochet could aim to do. And if he's not doing that, then it's like, okay, take me to age 36. One or the other. Don't leave me in the middle, because then I'm not maxing my value. But I'm also in neither direction does he have the potential to max his value. But either way, fuck it. I really just hope they pay him. I really don't give much of a shit about the structure. I just, for the love of God, he cannot only be here for 2 years. It's such a, like, if he's only here for 2 years, they don't win the World Series, and Kyle Disaster. Teal and Brandon Montgomery are as good as we think they're going to be, then you're going to look like a fucking idiot for making that trade. So you got to extend him. They know they got to extend him. I think they will. I still have faith that they're going to do it, but we'll see.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
And on that note, we can move to some Nuff Said. Sammy, you got anything?
Yeah, I wanna go back to a conversation we had about a month ago. Do you feel any differently about the idea of the Red Sox trading for Dylan Cease and his expiring contract? Because last episode we had a conversation of, do we want Cooper Criswell or Quinn Priester following Richard Fitz in this very banged up rotation?
I don't feel any differently. I mean, Giolito's throwing long toss. Like, he's not going to be out very much time at all. And Bayo said today that he wants to be back, right? Or not, like, at some point on the team's first homestand. So he would, like, both those guys in that case would only miss 1, 2, 3 starts. And even Cutter, the last report is that they want him back, or think he could be back at some time in April. I doubt that personally, But like the fact that all three of those guys have April return timetables has me pretty optimistic. Like Dylan Cease is the type of guy where if we get to midseason and someone in our rotation is having a shitty season and another one blew out their elbow and it's like, all right, and Fitz hasn't looked good for even though he's looked great. Like if shit has really hit the fan and we really don't know where we're going to turn, that's when I would do it. But right now I still see the Red Sox as having six legitimate big league starters plus Richard Fitz, who looks really good, plus the upside of everything else they have back there. Priester, you've got the solidity of Criswell. Now you can add Sean Newcomb into that mix if you want, and obviously Patrick Sandoval coming back midseason. So I still personally don't see a need to trade for any starting pitching right now. I get a lot of shit on Twitter for thinking that starting pitching, there's still plenty deep in it. But I'm just really unfazed by these injuries. Like, yeah, they're not going to be on the opening day roster. Mm-hmm. Is what it is. It's a couple of starts.
Yeah, I don't think there's any right or wrong school of thought. They're just different schools of thought, and you know, roll the dice. Whoever, it's a guess. You know, they could come back and they could be fine. It could be a disaster with the health all year long. We don't know, but it's just, you know, how nervous are you? I'm obviously a little more nervous about the rotation. I like the rotation, but Dylan Cease, man, just every old White Sox starting pitcher who used to be good, yeah, just coming to the Red Sox. Crochet, Giolito, Cease, come on down.
That would be crazy. Yeah, we are. I noticed that Crochet and Giolito have lockers next to each other. And I don't know if Hendricks is right next to them too, but.
Oh yeah, White Sox. And then we just had Chris Sale for years. So yeah. White Sox is the best farm system for the Red Sox.
It's like the White Sox are the Red Sox farm system. And then the Red Sox are the Dodgers farm system.
All right.
Then those All guys right. win the I don't World know about Series
that.
Out there.
I don't know about that. Yeah, well, we don't have to talk about that.
All right, I'll do my enough said. Just a quick congratulations to our big poppy. He got engaged last night as we're recording this. He got engaged last night. Nice little video of him on one knee. Pretty sure the lady he got engaged to is the lady that he may or may not have gotten shot over. Like, wasn't she like the...
It's like love.
The drug lord's girlfriend. So yeah, the love is stronger than oak. And they're going to be bound in holy matrimony. And we're just happy for our guy. And peace, love, big poppy.
Yeah.
Stay safe, man.
I don't know. I don't want to wade in those waters. But yeah, congratulations, big poppy. My fave athlete of all time. Go Sox, if you're asking me.
Yeah, go Sox. Shout out Big Poppy, Hall of Famer, Red Sox legend, all-timer. Maybe arguably the greatest Red Sox of all time. Obviously, statistically, you're going to go with Ted Williams, but in terms of impact.
Yeah, Gordo, can you imagine how much more war he would have accumulated if he played first base rather than DH'd? He would have been exponentially better.
Listen, man, he made the Hall of Fame as a DH. That's something in its own right, man. They said it could never be done. He the first? Or did Edgar get in? No, is Edgar in?
Edgar, yeah.
Edgar's in? Okay. He was really fucking good, and it took him way too long to get in.
You know, people actually think that. People actually think that about Big Poppy. Like, if he played first base, he would have been... Yeah. Oh, Joe wants to jump in here, he's saying in the chat. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. Here he comes.
I know what this is.
Do you?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll tell you.
You tell it then,
Sammy. Yeah, Sammy, guess it. I have no idea.
You tell me then.
Are you going to brag about Bo Bichette being on fire in spring training?
Actually, no. I wasn't.
Okay.
I'm saving that for opening day when I can actually.
Bo's going to have a big year. Joe, you're gonna be able to say some shit.
Redemption.
The trade still won't make sense, but I hope you talk your shit regardless.
Dude, you and Bo Bichette are both on a redemption arc together. That's kind of beautiful.
Damn right. We're running the show together. The enough said I wanted to put out there is I feel like we got to mention this Alex Verdugo report, how he's got no major league offers. I find that very hard to believe. Like, yes, he sucks, but he has to have at least like one offer from like a really bad team. You know what I mean? Like,
why are the White Sox not offering him a
Marlins? Look at the Marlins. Can I, dude, the Marlins are going to be they're off. I mean, they're not going to be as bad as the White Sox because they got some decent pitching. But, dude, that lineup is like a big pillow fight. They have, oh my God. Okay, Xavier Edwards at short, Connor Norby at third. Those are two decent prospects. And then listen to this. Batting third, Hebrew Hammer, Matt Mervis. Brutal. Oof. Batting cleanup is Jonah Bride. Oh my God. Griffin Conine, Otto Lopez, Kyle Stowers, Nick Fortes, and Derek Hill. If you know who Derek Hill is, you're lying.
There's a few guys in there I didn't know. And I know, I feel like I know most of this damn league.
You got MLB The Show, too. That's a big advantage.
Do that before opening day, is just have a blind test of, like, can these guys name the Marlins starting lineup?
You know what we should do? We've got our next episode dropping Friday is our long-anticipated Yankees AL East outlook. Should we replace it with a Miami Marlins NL East outlook?
I can do the outlook. Last place.
But honestly, jokes aside, if you're the Marlins, if you're the Marlins and you have that pile of garbage lineup, which is generous to call it a pile of garbage, why would you not give Alex Verdugo a 1 or 2 year deal?
And then trade him.
Hope he plays well and then flip him at the deadline. You lose nothing. And if he sucks, cut bait. He's going to cost nothing. It's weird.
I'll give you an answer, Sammy. Is it possible that the word got out?
Maybe I think word might have gotten out.
Yeah, maybe these teams just don't like the good teams don't want him because he's not that good, and the bad teams don't want him around their young guys that they're trying to.
The chains and like the bling. I think Jazz Chisholm is the floor for doing that stuff. Like Jazz Chisholm is like just good enough to get away with all the bling and the chains and everything. Alex Verdugo is not good enough to do all that. He has to wear a polo to the ballpark next time he gets signed by a team and like be more buttoned up. And then when he starts playing better, then you can bring back the chains and shit. You're not Fernando Tatis Jr., buddy. Yeah. But
there's also really some like shit. Like there's some shit.
Like corner outfield. He's a great corner outfield defender. He doesn't strike out. He usually hits 30 doubles a year. Like you could flip him for something at the deadline. Come on.
Maybe he'll be motivated. I don't know. It's just
he doesn't suck enough to be jobless. Maybe
I agree. He deserves the job.
I will say, Gordo, you mentioned him being motivated. If you weren't motivated with the Dodgers, the Red Sox, or the Yankees.
Fair.
I don't know if you're going to be fired up to play for the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, you're right. No, and him in Miami would be an all-out, like, he would just be Miami Doogie. Like, if Doogie is this in Boston and New York, what's he going to be in Miami? Like, Miami Doogie going to be a different animal. That's something we've never seen before. Like,
yeah, I thought he was going to go to Cleveland.
Add some shades to all those chains he's wearing.
I thought Cleveland was a good fit for him because they like defense and contact, like guys like Stephen Kwan.
And there's nothing to do in Cleveland. It would be great.
No, he'd be at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame once a week.
Yeah, every day. Every day he's having lunch at the Hard Rock Cafe and he's just rocking
down
out
to his shoulders. He'd be like, yeah,
live at the Rolling Stones. Like,
he'd go to the Browns games and be like, man, I'm depressed. This is sad.
And that'll keep him in check and he'll hit 320, win a gold glove.
Yeah, you can go watch the Celtics beat the Cavs in 5 games up close and personal. It'd be great.
Oh, good stuff. Joe, I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for doing that. But we got to wrap there. Love that by God, we can never... The hour, it's a guarantee. We're hitting the hour. We're always hitting the hour. But we appreciate you guys tuning in to episode, 188? Did I have that right? 188! Play Tessie. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Has all of our episodes in video form. Hit the thumbs up on every single one of those and subscribe to WEI. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here. For Play Tessie, thanks for tuning in to this one. We'll catch you next time for the Yankees AL East Outlook dropping Friday. We'll be recording it from the fort. Oh, baby, it's going to be sunshine. Let's go. See you next time. Peace.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.